Welcome to our Farming Water Scotland podcast series. Over this series, we're looking at various mitigation options, guidance and farmers' experience to help manage and improve water quality on farm and the surrounding area. In this episode, we're discussing slurry storage with Stephen Field from SEPA and Carrie Campbell from SAC Consulting. You can listen back to all previous episodes in this series and other podcasts we produce for Farming Water Scotland on any podcast provider. Please like, follow and subscribe and leave us a review. I'm Fiona Salter, an environmental consultant and host for today's podcast. Today we're joined by Stephen Field, who works with SEPA as their National Rural Unit Manager, responsible for a team of dedicated rural officers whose role is to engage with the farming sector and improve industry's compliance with their environmental regulation. And Karen Campbell, who works in SEC Consulting as a senior consultant area manager in the Campbelltown office. Karen provides technical advice and support to clients in the Kintyre and Mid-Arg or Gael, their main area of expertise being livestock nutrition. Welcome both and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As I said, today we'll be focusing on slurry storage on farm, discussing the variant styles and learning from SEPA and SEC their experience with farmers striving to comply with regulations and improve water quality. Stephen, I mentioned briefly in your introduction, but can you tell us a bit more about your role at SEPA and the area of work you do?
Yeah, thanks, Fiona. Yes, as you said, I've been working with farmers both in Northern Ireland and Scotland now for over 30 years, advising them on various different environmental legislation which affects them. I'm currently SEPA's National Rural Unit Manager and SEPA's lead contact for the National Farmers Union of Scotland and SRUC. I do have a small team and it's only 14 staff, which covers the whole of Scotland. We're dedicated to working with the farming sector and responsible for delivering engagement visits within SEPA's and Scotland's 57 priority catchments, carrying out compliance and verification inspections in intensive pig and poultry units, dealing with their permit applications, variations and surrenders, and also dealing with all new farm structures across Scotland, whether it be for silage or for slurry storage. In essence, I'm really responsible for overseeing how SEPA implements the farming regulations, the general binding rules within the farming sector. And our main aim as a team is to achieve regulatory compliance within the sector and work with farmers to achieve that.
Great. Thanks, Dean. And Cara, do you want to provide a bit more about your role at SEC?
Yeah, no, thanks, Fiona. So I'm a senior consultant and area manager in one of our 26 offices in the Campbelltown area. So my main kind of role is providing technical advice to our farming clients and hosting a variety of meetings across the year. My particular interest is livestock nutrition. So I tend to go out on farm and help with rationing and providing advice on how to improve milk yields or improve growth rates in young stock. But my job is quite varied on a day-to-day basis. So I do also help with grant schemes. So I do a lot of IACs and filling in single application forms, and also help with EECS, so the Agri-Environment Climate Scheme, and part of that is filling in the slurry store application forms.
Thank you. Moving into slurry stores and what farmers need to know now, 2024, what do they need to do?
not a straightforward answer. We've got various rules within Scotland. We used to have the old control of pollution, silage, slurry and agricultural fuel oil regulations, which were brought in 1991 and went through various different amendment stages. We revoked that legislation in 2021-22, and we took a lot of what was in that legislation and put it into the controlled activities regulations under general binding rules. So we have a general binding rule for slurry, which is basically the storage of slurry, and we've got a general binding rule for the application of slurry or the application of slurry to land or organic materials to land. There's been various transition stages from when these regulations come in. They come in the 1st of January 2022 under a general binding rule, and they have various transition phases depending on the age of the slurry store on the farm. So if a farmer had built a slurry store prior to 1991, that slurry store has to comply with various parts of the general binding rules by the 1st of January 2026. if he had built one after 1991, when the regulations, the old control of pollution, silage slurry, and agricultural fuel regulations were in force, if it was non-compliant, then he had to have it compliant with the legislation by the 1st of January 2024, i.e. this year. And that comes down to how it's built and how it's been designed. And anything built after the 1st of January 2022 should be compliant, built in a compliant manner with the general binding rules. So there's a couple of things for farmers to consider. One thing is, if you're considering building a new store, then the Scottish Government introduced a new part to the legislation under the general binding rules, meaning that all farmers 30 days prior to cutting a sod of grass or excavating an area where they want to build a store, they have to provide SEPA with a detailed set of engineer's drawings and a plan of the work they intend to do, and a completed RAMS map and farm waste management plan. The RAMS map is now part of legislation, so any farmer that is producing slurry on farm or any other organic material on farm, bringing AD onto farm, would need to have a RAMS map for that particular farm. So risk assessment for manures and slurries and how that's applied on the ground. And anybody applying slurry on behalf of the farmer, either a farm worker or a son or a contractor, should have sight of that particular map before they start to apply the material. And basically it outlines fields which may be more problematic for runoff and may be a higher risk to spreading slurry at certain times of the year. It may also record proximity of watercourses, wells and springs. So it gives the person that's applying it a better indication of what's actually there. In terms of, say, building a new structure on the farm, or getting a structure which may not have been compliant prior to the beginning of this year, there's specific design specifications, and those are BS standards for agriculture and for agricultural buildings, which are written into the general binding rules. And that really means that an engineer has to be involved in the design and construction of the particular structure. We will require an engineer to sign the structure off once complete, so that he's happy with the design, he's happy with the build, and it meets the requirements as per his drawings. And that is one of the key things, is that sometimes we see the submission of a detailed drawing, which subsequently changes through the process, i.e. something changes on the farm, or the farmer wants something in a different location, or it can't be built in that location or to that specification. If that's the case, then the plan should be revised and details of what was actually installed. So that's one of the things that we do require before we sign something off as compliant with the legislation. Probably another area that farmers need to consider and look at is the capacity of the slurry storage system. So if you have pigs, then you're looking to try and attain 26 weeks slurry storage. And if you have other livestock, you're looking at 22 weeks minimum to comply with the general binding rule. And again, there's a transition phase for the introduction of that. So if a farmer currently sitting at 10 weeks or 12 weeks, the legislation looks at him to try and achieve compliance with the general binding rule by the 1st of January 2026. So a bit of time to think about planning and what needs to be done in terms of additional slurry storage, or in some instances, removal of clean surface water, which may be mixing with uncontaminated yards, producing a slurry which then has to be contained. So there's various different ways of looking at it. First of all, we would always consider getting rid of any clean water away from dirty yards, make sure your roof drainage is caught, taken in pipes and discharged to a watercourse, away from any either silage pit or any slurry store that it could become contaminated with. And then think about what your stock levels are and whether they're going to increase in future, and future-proofing the situation, put a bigger store up, or along those particular lines. But ultimately, what the farmer's looking to do is, by the 1st of January 2026, have 22 weeks slurry storage for the slurry that's produced on the farm.
Obviously, for them to do that, to upgrade, it will come as a cost. Cara, can you discuss any funding that is currently available and any particular deadline that farmers should be aware of?
Yes, no, definitely. There is, yes, so currently there's funding through the Agri-Environment Climate Scheme. And this is the last year of funding that it's available for slurry stores. And it's got a tight deadline of the 19th of April 2024. So if farmers are looking at increasing that slurry storage to the 22 weeks capacity and haven't been in contact with a consultant to help them fill in their RAMS maps and their slurry and manure management plan, then my advice is get in touch as soon as possible, because consultants are busy at the moment and there's a lot of farmers needing it done and wanting to get it done. So yes, get in touch as soon as possible. And so in terms of the funding that is available, there's £20 per cubic meter up to 2000 cubic meters. So if you have a store that is more than 2000 cubic meters, you would get the funding up to the 2000 cubic meters, and then you would have to pay for the rest of it yourselves. And if you've got associated equipment for above ground storage tanks, so there is funding available for that as well. For example, like your ladders and your platform, there is funding towards those items as well. And if you need to put in a below ground reception tank, there's £235 per cubic metre up to 36 cubic metres. So yes, that's what funding is available. But my message would be, if you're going to do it, this is the last year of opportunity for the funding, and get in touch with your consultant as soon as possible to see if they have capacity to do it for you.
I would definitely echo what Cara said there in terms of getting an application in. It is the last window that we'll have for slurry storage in Scotland. So take the opportunity. The other interesting fact is that people that had previously got slurry storage under SRDP could now apply, which may be a benefit in their business. So I definitely take the opportunity that's there and contact a consultant as soon as possible to start the process.
Physically looking at the structure, what can farmers put in place?
If you look at the grant covers above ground slurry stores and lagoons, and fortunately it doesn't cover concrete slatted channels except for the reception pit up to 36 metres cubed. So in reality, the farmers are looking at the two options, either an above ground slurry store, some long permastore, storth, that sort of thing, or a below or a lagoon of some description. So those are the two main kind of facilities that are granted at this present point in time.
And Cara, what have you seen on farm? What type of stores have farmers put in place that have successfully complied with the new regulations and are working well for the farmers?
So the majority, that the ones that I've done, is they've either put up a tower. So we've got two concrete towers that have gone up this year, and quite a few have actually put in lagoons as well. Partly because of the cost factor. So a lagoon is typically cheaper than a concrete or a steel tower. But the only thing I would say with a lagoon is you've got to think about the surface area, and that does increase how much rainwater you're collecting. So yeah, it does. There's pros and cons to both. But no, so far the ones that have got it up are pleased with what they've put up and have increased their storage to 22 weeks plus capacity on farm.
Have these been covered or not covered, or a mixture?
None of them have been covered yet, and I don't have any plans to do it just yet. I think just partly due to cost, get the tower up first, and then in the future they'll put a cover on.
Definitely, I think that's the thing, that both types have different pros and cons in their design and what they actually collect in terms of rainwater and freeboard. For a good example, you've got 750 millimeters of freeboard, which is basically part of your storage capacity, but there's nothing you can store in it. And then if you take rainwater on top of that, in certain areas of Ayrshire, Dumfries and Galloway, you're probably talking of losing anything between probably 1.5 to 2 meters of your capacity. So you're looking to go deep in terms of design specification. So some of these lagoons can be 8 meters deep. Your effective storage capacity is about 6, and you're losing 2 because of rainwater and freeboard. Whereas a slurry store, as it says, it's above ground, and all you're losing is the 300 millimeters of freeboard at the top and the rainwater fall that comes into it. So probably a ring, or just over a ring, in terms of capacity. But they both have pros and cons. Some are more robust than others. And when it comes to lagoon design and specification, SEPA's had to amend what we see on the ground as a result of incidents that occur. So any new lagoon that's going in that has a fixed mixing point, we're using a mechanical measure. We're requiring that to have a concrete plinth down the side of the lagoon and onto the base, so that the mixer does not come into contact with the liner, because we're dealing with liners that are about a millimeter thick for a very flexible liner, LLDPE, and a more rigid 2 millimeters thick for HDPE. But again, any mechanical, whether it be the bar coupling on a slurry vacuum tanker pipe, or whether it be a mixer itself, will just go straight through these systems. So we're insisting on various mitigation measures to be put in to help the management of the lagoon and the structure itself. Both should be designed for 20 years. That's the minimum requirement of the legislation with routine repair and maintenance. So whoever you purchase or buy either the above ground store or the lagoon of will have a maintenance program, which you should be trying to follow, which may mean regular inspection. It may mean just looking at the outside of the store, looking at the liner when you get the opportunity to do so. But the key thing in any of these facilities is the maintenance. Don't think that you can put an above ground store up or a lagoon up and do nothing to it over the 20 years of its design. If you look after it and maintain it, you would as a car or your tractor, then you will get a longer life expectancy out of that particular structure. There are some above ground stores which I've seen on my travels that are 30, 35, 40 years old, which have been really well maintained. They've had the polysulfide cenit and mastic replaced on a regular basis, and they're still in a very, very good condition. They might be smaller than what is required on the farm, but they're still a functional part of that particular business. So that's key. And you can look at various different things, and the manufacturer will tell you what to look out for with regards to, say, corrosion on the store or an issue with a liner. So it is. So there's.
Is that something farmers can do themselves, or would they need to get externals in to carry out those assessments?
A farmer could carry out the assessment himself, but the actual, probably any maintenance that needed to be done, depending on the extent of it, may need to be done by or undertaken by a more professional engineer or something like that. For example, if you were looking at the above ground slurry store, the kind of things that my officers look for and I look for is, first of all, look at the age of the store. We'd look to see if there's any seepage at the base ring between the concrete and the first panel. And then we would look for things, what we term electrolytic corrosion, which is basically the area you see it is where the four panels come together and you've got the nuts and bolts. And over a period of time, if there hasn't been enough mastic applied at the time of erection or throughout the lifespan of the structure, you'll see an oily sheen appear in that particular area, which is like a rust, and it's just the different types of metal interacting with each other. And that's the first sign that we would indicate the farmer that some maintenance needed to be carried out on that particular facility. Always say to them, if you see a stone chip on the outside of your store, don't leave it. Just put a bit of mastic over that to prevent any further deterioration. And in some older stores, sometimes you can get a small pinhole starting to appear. Well, they can be repaired quite easily by a nut and bolt and mastic. So things like that. But if you do get, say, a damaged panel on a slurry store, your manufacturer will know the serial number of it and will be able to basically replace that panel to the exact dimensions in that particular store. So there's various ways of doing it, but it takes more precision in doing that particular thing. So there's things a farmer can do himself to maintain the life expectancy, and there's things that he would need to bring the manufacturer in to repair.
Thank you. And then looking at what help is available to farmers, because obviously for me, calculating how much storage is they actually need to have to comply with the regulations. Are there tools out there to help farmers calculate this, or is it speaking to your advisors, is it speaking to SEPA? What would be the best way for them to go about calculating how much storage they actually need?
A farmer can contact SEPA if they wish. They probably would want to go to their consultant more often than coming to us. My staff do, when they do a farm visit where there's livestock involved in slurry storage, we do an on-farm calculation at the time and provide the farmer with a best estimate as we possibly can based on the information that the farmer has given to us in terms of what he's producing on the farm, what storage he has on the farm, and whether he's a shortfall or he's over capacity or he's got good capacity. So we can do that when we do a farm inspection. Consultants are another one, which Cara can probably elaborate on. But there are other tools out there that the farmer can use. There's on NetRegs, there's an e-learning package, which is an animated cartoon, which takes you through the process of how to calculate your farm slurry storage. It's very simple. It takes into consideration rainfall onto various different stores, how to calculate the rainfall, where to get the rainfall figures, tells you where to get your livestock figure, slurry production, takes you through the process. It's about 5 or 6 minutes long, but it takes you through that. Basically, we kind of designed it for farmers who wanted to do it themselves and for our own staff that don't deal with farmers on a regular basis if they needed to do a quick calculation. But there's other things out there. There's the Farming and Water Scotland website, which helps take farmers through. There's the 4-point plan, which was developed a number of years ago, but still is very relevant to the farmers today. It takes you through a clean, dirty water separation process, takes you through the calculation of slurry, takes you through the production of a RAMS risk assessment from using slurries. It's a hands-on approach. So there are things out there, but yeah, consultants, ourselves and those.
And I think the only other thing I would add, Stephen, is that there is the slurry calculator on Rural Payments that you can download and input your cattle numbers. And if you've got dairy, you put in your pile of washings, and then you put in your the storage that you've currently got. And then you can also put in a guesstimate of what storage you can put in, and it will tell you whether the new store is actually going to take you up to that 22 weeks capacity or not. So it gives you a bit of an opportunity to play with some numbers to find out what size of store you need, and it also uses the accurate 10-year rainfall that SEPA have put up there, so you've got access to the local weather stations that are in your area so that you get the most accurate rainfall for calculating the rainfall onto the stores, and if you've got your dirty yard areas as well. So that's a really useful tool.
It's a very good starting point. Yeah, definitely.
And looking at the physical structure that farmers choose to install, like, financial decisions might lead the choice mainly, but what are the pros and cons of, say, a lagoon to a tank for a farmer, apart from, well, some might have to just go with cost, but are there other pros and cons?
Yeah, there are pros and cons. I suppose finance is the one thing that the farmer will look at. A lagoon is definitely cheaper than putting an above ground slurry store up. In reality, possibly from a lagoon perspective, but cost of liner, excavation of the ground, planning permissions, auxiliaries like pumps and stuff like that could be anything between 60 and 80k. Whereas if you go for an above ground slurry store, you're talking 100k and above. Probably the average one would be about 150 for around about between 750 to 850,000 gallons capacity. So there is the expense in there. I suppose the pros from an above ground slurry store is it doesn't take up the same space as a lagoon would do. So in reality, some farmers want to put the store in the steading. They can probably fit a slurry store, above ground slurry store, an awful lot easier than a lagoon. Most lagoons are probably located in the middle of the farmer's field mass, so that he's got an easier method of applying the slurry. You could do similar to a slurry store as well, but what we're seeing in the ground is that lagoons are put into the centre, or as best he can, in the centre of his cropping area, so his grazing fields and his silage fields, so he can easily apply the slurry over a period of time. So that then leads to surface water and what you're actually catching. So we've kind of covered that earlier. A lagoon will catch an awful lot more rainwater than an equivalent capacity above ground slurry store. So you've got to deal with that rainwater over that 22-week period, which could be a considerable amount in certain areas. Both should are easy to mix. I would say probably an above ground store is more robust in terms of structural design and specification than a lagoon itself and the liner. Therefore, a bit more precaution is required just when working in and around the lagoon area because of the how easy it is to rip the liner as such. But yeah, it really, I think, sometimes comes down to what the farmer wants himself. Above ground slurry stores have been on the market for a considerable period of time. They were the means of slurry and slurry for a number of years, from probably 85 onwards. Lagoons are relatively new in Scotland, and we're learning more and more about the capacity and the ability and the ins and outs of how to actually manage lagoons. And that's why sometimes we've had to actually request specific design specifications or design measures put into the lagoon designs to help reduce the likelihood of pollution occurring or an accident occurring. But probably there's one other method of of slurry storage which we hadn't talked about, and that's slurry bags. They're common, probably more common in England than they are here, and that's probably because of the way the legislation's written in Scotland. A slurry bag can probably, I'm trying to think of the capacity, probably 300 to 400,000 gallons is probably the maximum capacity for a slurry bag. But in terms of design specification and how it's sited, it has to be sited inside a earth banking, which is actually lined. So basically, you've got an earth bank lagoon with liner plus a slurry bag inside. So from a financial perspective, it isn't probably a viable method of dealing with slurry. The only benefit of the slurry bag is that it's enclosed, so you have no rainwater to contend with, and you're just dealing with the slurry that's actually there. So that's probably the pro of that particular. It's an enclosed system, and you're just dealing with the pure slurry that's been produced on the steading in that particular area. But I think I can't think of anything else. Cara, do you think of any further pros and cons?
I think the key thing is it's what is best for your system and what suits your farm steading the best, and also what your kind of topography is, and whether it's better to have a lagoon or above ground tank. So yeah, it's really just looking at your own farm steading and deciding what suits you the best, really.
Cara, looking at the changes since 2022, how have your clients found the transitional period, let's call it?
So prior to 2023, my Campbelltown clients weren't in the area for eligible for funding for the slurry store grants. So in 2023 was the first year that they've been eligible for this grant to put up slurry stores. And we've had, so Stephen and his team from SEPA have been down to visit the farmers, and we've had a meeting with SEPA, and we've had really good engagement with the farmers down in Campbelltown, and we've had quite a few put up new stores or lagoons in the past year, and there's quite a few still going to be putting in applications this year to get up to the correct slurry storage. But I think what was really nice is just to see that connection and development of communication between SEPA, myself, and the clients, and really being quite open and honest and chatting about their slurry storage challenges that they've had and moving forward to make sure that they're up to that 22 weeks capacity. So yes, no, it's been really useful. Stephen, how have you found it from your side?
It's been a really great process to be involved in. When the regulations were brought in 2022, the consultation process raised some issues with the slurry storage and facilities in Campbelltown. They argued basically that they would cost them a lot of money and they couldn't comply and this, that and the other. But the reality, when we went in and we started to talk to the farmers, there was a lot of farmers had slurry storage on the farm. They hadn't maybe put a maybe increased stock numbers over a period of time since the last time sheep had been on the farm, and were interested to find out how they could actually progress and put additional slurry storage in their particular unit. We did, as you say, we lobbied with Scottish Government to get them into a grant scheme after 2022, which we did in 2023, and I think that was a great incentive for the farmers in that neck of the woods to actually go down the line of looking at slurry storage and then ultimately putting some kind of facility on the farm. I have had great engagement with the farmers. Some of them phone me on a very regular basis to discuss just some changes that they're putting in, or they're not, they've gone for one design and then they said, no, I don't really want that. I want to go for this instead. And it's not going to fit into my, well, let's work through it and let's see what's the best for your business and what's the best for you in the long run. And, you know, we intend to go back because we've got a number of slurry stores to sign off that have been built, some concrete ones, some lagoons. But the way we're working with farmers over there at present is we're doing most of it via photographs and by video, just seeing how the sites are changing, how the developments are coming on, so that we're up to speed with things and are able to actually issue them with a grant letter so they can get their funding back. But no, it's been a really positive working relationship across the board in Campbelltown, both with the farmers and with SRUC and ourselves. And yeah, I think it's always good if we can all work together and we can actually get the farmers involved and get them taken forward in terms of this is going to be the best for your unit in the long run, better use of your manures and your slurries, try and reduce the use of inorganics on the farm and just maybe more rely on the organic material you're producing to get the best value out of it. And then they start thinking about nutrient budgeting, soil analysis all comes into the equation, and that's where your consultant can really help in producing that and giving you a better indication of how much you need to apply on what particular field and at what time. So yeah, there are definitely benefits in having the 22-week storage as we seem to be getting wetter winters. But in terms of the application of slurries, getting that slurry and our other organic manures on at the right time. So in Campbelltown's area, probably early February, because they seem to have a bit of warmer climate compared to other parts of Ayrshire and South Lanarkshire. But yeah, getting the benefit of that slurry is key to reduce your costs in terms of other inorganic fertilisers, which may not be required.
I think what's been great for me is as the consultant, I've been going out on farm, and what's been really nice is hearing them, farmers saying, oh, I've already been in touch with SEPA, I've already spoken to whoever's been out from the SEPA team, and we've discussed X, Y, and Z. So it makes my job filling in their applications a lot easier because they've got a clear idea of what they want to do, or if they decide to change location or change from a lagoon to a store, they've already done that first step and spoken to whoever's been out on farm from SEPA and got all the information ready for me. So it's been a really useful communication between the farmer, SEPA, and myself as the consultant.
Fab. Well, thank you very much, Stephen and Cara. That was really informative, and hopefully we've helped people understand more about slurry stores and the deadline, which I should reiterate is April the 19th, 2024, just in case you're listening after the April the 19th, 2024. And hopefully many farmers will get in and make that deadline. And thank you for joining us today. On the webpage, we'll save all the links and documents and guidance notes that have been discussed throughout this podcast. If you've enjoyed listening, please like, subscribe and follow our podcast wherever you're listening to them. Please get in touch if you want to find out more. Farming and Water Scotland is funded by Scottish Government and delivered by SEC Consulting in partnership with SEPA to help farmers and land managers reduce diffuse pollution risks and benefit the farm business.